Welcome back to another glass of Charlie Fay. This week we are talking about women in business, entrepreneurship, the stereotypes women business owners have to deal with, especially young women, and so much more. I'm so excited for you guys to have a listen, so grab whatever you're sipping on today and let's get started. All right, so today we have Danielle, who owns Sequoia Dieppe and Sequoia Downtown. So I'm just going to let her introduce herself for the very first time on this podcast. Danielle, can you tell us a little bit about you and your business and what you do in this community?
Yeah, of course. So I'm really happy to be here today. And for those who don't know me, I do own two wellness stores here in Greater Moncton. And the purpose of those stores are really to help the Greater Moncton community get healthier, learn about nutrition, learn about supplementation, and really get people feeling as good as they can. And we also do a lot of education out in the community. That's a really important aspect of my business. So we're really community driven, all about community, helping people feel good. And yeah, that's a little intro to what I do.
I absolutely love your stories. And it's funny because I didn't shop at your store until probably 6 months ago to a year ago.
Yeah.
And the first time I went in, it was like, I was welcomed by the people that work there. They were like so interested in like what I wanted. And like, they were always there to answer my questions. And it was such a great experience. So I just continued going. And then I met you, and then we kind of like became best friends instantly. It was amazing. And I love how community driven you are. So all of your social media is banging when it comes to anything involving the community. You're always there to uplift other local businesses in the area, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So kudos to you for doing that.
Thank you.
So what is some things that you've done that you're kind of like involved in the community with Sequoia?
When it comes down to like owning a business and wanting to help the community, there's so many different directions that you can go. So I try to help the community as much as I can in terms of things that I'm passionate about. So
okay.
For me, I was really lucky to grow up and have a family that was able to afford to put me in sports and put me in after school activities. So children, anything to do with kids is really, really important to me.
Yeah.
So we donate a ton of money to Pro Kids, the Center for Arts and After School, all different Boys and Girls Club, all of those types of things. And we basically essentially pay for kids to be able to attend sports and after school
amazing.
Program. And that just ties really into like nutrition and feeling good.
Yes, absolutely.
Because I know when I grew up, playing sports really gave me, a level of confidence that you might not get if you don't participate in group activities.
Yes.
Right. So that's really important to us. And then, just being part of the community and, for me, just, being compassionate and learning from our customers and learning from different organizations and just helping when we can. I mean, obviously we're a small business, so we can't help all the time, but just trying to, do better and just do as much as we can for the community. And I mean, ultimately that's why I own my business. Like, it's obviously important for us to profit because I need to have a roof over my head and I need my employees, I want my employees to, have a job. But ultimately, for me, the purpose behind owning my business is community,
yes.
to help my community. It's
yes.
the number one reason. And it's what gets me up every day. And it's what keeps me interested.
It's funny because I come from a pretty small community as well. So, and when I left Edmonton to come here, I moved here about 6 years ago. And the first thing that I realized when I moved here was how local businesses strive in Moncton. People love supporting local, which is absolutely amazing because I haven't seen that in a lot of I guess it depends on where you go, but I feel like Moncton is really up there with like the local businesses and just like the local people wanting to contribute to these local businesses and that they go out of their way to contribute to these local businesses.
Yeah. And I think that like, I mean, I agree as well. And I've seen that grow a lot over the last 5 years. Like I lived in Halifax for a period of time, and I lived in Charlottetown for a period of time. And I remember moving to PEI, and I wasn't an Islander, and I got this job, and, you know, I was shocked to get it because I just know, you know, Islanders really support Islanders. And I was just, I worked for the Charlottetown Chamber of Commerce. So I worked really closely with small businesses. And at that time, I was amazed at how much the community just supported the community.
Yeah.
Like how much people in PEI and Charlottetown, where I was living, really supported local businesses. Like I was just blown away. And that's really what piqued my interest into owning a local business. But Moncton has definitely come a long way. And I think shopping local is more on the top of people's minds now. I'm sure there was a period of time where maybe it was a little bit different because we are a lot bigger than other towns and other cities.
And not only that, I feel like our like social media as a whole has come such a long way as well. And like, if you're a local business and you don't have a social media, it's going to be very hard to reach out to that community because the whole community of, I feel like the whole community of Moncton that loves to support local businesses and loves, you know, strives to support local businesses are all on social media and they're always constantly sharing your posts and like other posts from local businesses. So I think that that's amazing. And I think that, you know, like having this social media platform is just so important too.
Yeah. And it really is. And it's funny to think like, I, you know, purchased Sequoia Downtown 5.5 years ago.
I was going to ask you how long it's been.
5.5 years ago now, which is crazy to think. And I've owned Sequoia Dieppe now for 3.5 years. But it's funny, when I first bought that business, like I didn't have Instagram. And then Facebook, we probably posted on Facebook once or twice a week.
Yeah.
And we actually, back then, we did radio and we did newspaper and we did, you know, we did mail outs and things like that. So it's just incredible.
It's so crazy how far it's come. Yeah.
And with social media, like, of course, it's my time. Like I spend a lot of time on there and, you know, curating content and everything, but it's just incredible like how affordable it is to really get your message out there and your products out there and your face out there and like all of that, you know, using this platform. So, you know, if anybody is out there who owns a small business and who is not on social media, I highly, highly recommend it because it's just been such an easy way to get in front of my community and be like, hey, this is who I am. This is what we are. Like, you know, we want to support you, so come support us.
And one thing that I feel like people love too is they love seeing the face behind the business. Yes. And that's really one thing that I've noticed in probably the last year and a half. Like anybody who's been following me on Instagram for, I would say, the last 3 years, like my Instagram has really, I guess, changed in a way. I just recently changed my name to just Charlie Faye the last few months. And that's because I've been sharing a lot more of my life and a lot more of my travels and just a lot more of my face. So people can put a face to my account and a face to the camera that's shooting their weddings and that kind of stuff. And that's what people want to see.
It's exactly what people want to see. And I remember, I think it was about a year ago, I was talking to somebody, one of my friends who owns a marketing company here. And she was like, Danielle, like, you have to put your face out there. She was like, you know, when I look at your two pages, I see products and I see your team and that's all fantastic, but people want to see the person. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm not a shy person, but it's, there's nothing natural about holding up a camera and being like, hey, everyone, you know, what's up?
Yeah.
You asked to see me. No, but it's just, it was definitely uncomfortable to put myself out there, but
The more you do it, the easier it is.
It's been incredible. Yeah. And then the more people who get to know you are like, wow, that person's, you know, she's genuine and she's cool and all these things that I want to go support her.
Yes.
And I want to, you know, be part of her group. And it's just so nice. And not only that, like you mentioned, I've met so many people because they've put their face out there too.
Yes, exactly.
Versus just seeing photos or not really knowing who's behind the business. And that definitely attracts me to a business as well. Seeing who's behind, who's doing everything behind the camera.
Yes, exactly. And I feel like it takes away that barrier between the consumer and the owner of the business.
Yes.
Like if say, like, let's look at like big corporations like Walmart and, you know, like any retail, big retail businesses, there's no faces. They don't show faces.
No.
They don't show any kind of, I guess, like not community, but like, I guess like localized community. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, there's a detachment there, right?
Exactly.
You don't know who's there. And there's, like you said, with the barrier, it also just shows like transparency, and it also shows relatability, right? Like, oh, I can relate to her. Like maybe I've never stepped foot in a health food store before. And maybe I think that I might not fit in there. But then when they see myself talking or maybe my team members talking, they're like, oh, she's like really down to earth and she's not, you know, whatever people think is health foods, you know, maybe she's not a hippie or whatever it is, you know? So it's just when people think about those things too, it also allows them to connect and to relate and be like, okay, that's a less intimidating thing for me to do.
Exactly. And when someone can relate to you, it takes away that barrier.
Yes.
It completely takes away that barrier. And then you just become two people who are just having a conversation or two people that are listening to each other speak and being able to relate to one another. And I think that's so important when it comes down to local businesses, because once you see their face and you see their face, but you also know what they're doing, it's like putting puzzle pieces together.
Yeah, exactly. And it's really nice. And I think it's just, you know, when you see the person, I think behind the camera as well, it also, you know, with everything we mentioned, but it also builds that connection and you can see, okay, you know, I'm buying from a real person.
Yes.
Versus a corporate,
absolutely,
versus a huge multi-million dollar, you know, corporation. I'm buying from this specific person. Mm-hmm. And when I buy from this person, they donate to the community. And when I buy from this person, they're able to support all their incredible team members. You know, all of those things come into play. So I definitely think it's important. And, you know, being in front of the camera and also like networking and meeting new people and putting yourself out there is so important for business.
Oh, absolutely. And like you said before, like, because you never did it before, like before your friend had told you to do that, it was probably like super intimidating for you to get in front of the camera and be like, oh my God, I am the face of the company. Like I am the owner. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And it was the same thing for me, like when I first started doing it too. And then it was like, when I first started doing it, realizing how much people liked it and how much people wanted to see more, and then how much people were relating to some of my like more personalized posts, it was like it wasn't even a question to, you know, to be able to merge the two together. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And the more genuine you are too, I find, like I know for me, like I'll talk, you know, into the camera for a story and I don't even, you know, I really don't retake them. I just talk to the camera and then I upload it. And I'm like, do you know what? Who cares if I say or this, or I move my hair, I touch my face. At the end of the day, that's what's genuine and that's what you're going to see in person.
Exactly.
So I'm not going to film something like robotic. And
exactly.
And then people be like, well, that's not the person who I met in person.
Yes,
right?
Exactly. So, and like the more scripted you are, the less people are going to be enticed to listen.
Yes,
you know what
exactly.
I mean?
Yeah,
because
they're
just going to be like, okay, well, they're selling a product.
Yeah.
That's really all it is.
Yeah.
But like, I'm not going to, I don't want to listen.
There's
type
no
of thing. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's completely taking out that connection feel
that
these people are striving to hear.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, I think that it's super, super important. So any of you who have a business that don't have social media, 100%, get a social media, get your face out there, make sure that your followers and your community know who you are, can recognize you in public. Because I'm sure that you can, sure that you go to different places.
Oh
and
my gosh,
people,
I do.
Yeah.
People wave to me or they're like, oh, hey Danielle, like your seat's right over here. And I'm like, do we know each other? You know, it's kind of a weird thing, but it's also really nice because, you know, at the end of the day, like I'm like super smiley, I'm super friendly, so I'm willing to make friends.
Oh yeah, me too. But like if someone sees me, I get this a lot where like someone will see me in public and then they'll send me a message afterwards and be like, oh my God, I saw you a while ago. Like I wasn't sure if I wanted to say hi.
Yeah.
And it's because I have the worst resting bitch face in the entire universe. And so it doesn't look like I'm approachable.
Like I saw you in person and you did not
look
as friendly as
exactly,
your story.
Exactly. So like I get that message and I feel so bad because it's literally just my face.
Yeah.
Like, I can't change it. You know what I mean?
You need to get one of the masks.
I really do. I really do. Yeah. So it's really funny because I get that a lot. And then, you know, I feel really bad afterwards because I'm like, you could have totally come up and said hi. That literally would have made my whole entire day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, so they're like, oh, you just didn't look like you were in a good mood. I'm like, I promise it's just my face.
I'm in a great mood. I promise.
Yeah, exactly.
I know. But you know, Moncton's so small. And like, I always encourage people to, and it's funny too, because people will message the store page and it's 90% of the time me talking. And so I can see them. Like I can see their profile and I can see who they are, but they don't know who
I
am.
Know.
So sometimes they come into the store and I'm like, oh my God, hi. And they're like, hi. And I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. I was the one talking to you on Instagram.
That's such so a creep,
but
funny.
It's so funny because I'll recognize them and we'll get into this big elaborate conversation about whatever it is, like their yeah. health journey or their wellness journey. But it's just so funny because I'm a very enthusiastic person. So sometimes I catch people off guard, but yes, you are talking
way.
To the Sequoia Wellness page. It is probably me.
Yeah. And I feel like that's kind of what we vibed on too, because we're both such enthusiastic people. So when we saw each other for the first time, we're like, hello, oh my God. Like, it was so funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a pretty good time. Actually, me and Danielle only met for the first time in person, like, what was it, like 2 months
yeah.
ago? Like literally right before this COVID started, I'm pretty sure, right?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
And as soon as we've been following each other on Instagram for so long. And then when we finally met in person, it was like, there was no barrier. There was none of like the let's get to know each other, because I feel like we already knew each other at that point.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the things I love about you. And it's funny, after we met, like I said to my boyfriend, I'm like, oh, she's so genuine. And it's funny when it comes down to, like, you know, I just honestly feel like I am a genuine person.
And you
that's
are.
Really who I connect with.
Yeah.
And that's who I am with my customers. Like, I'm not hiding anything. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to, you know, be sneaky or sell anything, you know, that I don't think would, you know, fit a person's lifestyle. But I think that just being genuine and showing people who you really are makes such a huge difference.
Oh, absolutely. And it makes a whole difference.
Yeah. And it's so nice when you really meet genuine people. You know, there's people that I've seen online who are, you know, one way online, and you meet them in person, they're so different. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, maybe the person's shy or whatever. It doesn't matter. But it's just, it comes off as ingenuous.
It's almost disappointing.
So because
you were
really
kind of hoping for that, you know, like that bubbly, enthusiastic person.
Exactly.
And then meeting them in person is kind of, so that's why I feel bad when people meet me or see me in public and I look like the biggest fucking bitch on the planet. But then I'm like, no, like, you could have totally come and said hi. Like, my face will literally change. Like, I look like two different people.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We all have our days.
Exactly. So, talking about COVID, like, we're just coming back to that. Tell me a little bit, like, how COVID has affected your business and, I guess, like, your life as a business owner as well.
Yeah. So, well, what we were talking about, I mean, prior to recording, is just like how fast everything hit and how fast the province shut down. It was kind of out of nowhere. So, I mean, we're part of an association, it's Canadian Health Food Association. And so when everything shut down, we basically knew we were going to stay open because we are a specialty grocery store, but we, you know, talked to them and just confirmed that all of the other health food stores in Canada were staying open, and they were. So it was really weird for the entire province to shut down and us to remain open.
Yeah.
And not only weird because we were like, whoa, we are one of the only businesses remaining open, but also we don't have, like, I don't have, you know, a human resources department, a safety department, all of these things that some of the larger grocery store chains would have. You know, I don't have a head office telling me what to do.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
All of a sudden the entire city shut down. We're open and we're like, okay, where do we start? What do we do? Where are the rules? And it happened so fast that even at the very beginning, we called WorkSafe and we're like, this is our square foot of our store. How many people are we allowed to have in? Do we have to wear masks? How many times do we have to wash down our store? How many employees can we have? You know, all of these things. And they didn't even have the answers.
Oh my God.
So at the
I feel
very
like
beginning,
no one did though.
No
That's
one did.
The thing.
No
like
one did.
No one in this day and age has experienced anything like this before.
No. And especially at the beginning, like, now we have a little more guidance now that everything is reopened.
Yes.
But at the very beginning, it was like, oh my gosh. So it was really, I don't know. Stressful to a bit, but almost like uncomfortable. Like, it was, you know, it was the unknown.
It was eerie.
It was the unknown. And so the biggest things for me were like, okay, we're going to remain open. We're going to provide, you know, these two stores for our community. And how can I keep my employees safe? And how can I keep my customers safe? Like, that, obviously safety was the number one thing.
Absolutely.
So we immediately out of the gate, you know, went to extreme safety protocols. Like, we were washing down our store way more often than we actually have to. And we were,
but
just,
you can never be too safe.
You can
though.
Never
That's
be too
thing.
Safe. You can never be too safe. And so we, you know, we had the masks and we had the parking pickup and we had home delivery, like, out of the gate, because we wanted people to be able to still get their products that they need, but from the safety of their home or the safety of the parking lot.
Yeah.
So We did that right away. And yeah, we didn't know what was going to happen. I mean, it's devastating how many businesses have shut down.
It makes me want to cry how many businesses have shut down.
I was driving to work when we were open and listening to the radio and just hearing, about businesses shutting down or, going on Facebook. And I'm not one to cry, but it was breaking my heart. And I was driving to work while my store was open and all of these businesses were shutting down because they legally had to be closed. And yeah, it was really upsetting.
It's devastating because, I remember at first when this first hit, I thought I was going to have to go bankrupt. I thought I was going to go completely out of business. I thought that this was going to be the worst year of my life because I did not see this coming. And I fell into a depression really quickly because I usually always get seasonal depression anyways. And that's,
Which is
very, very common. And one thing that really helps me during the winter times when it's not as busy is traveling. So I travel quite a bit during the winter. But that, that wasn't even a safety net for me. That wasn't even an option at the time. So when this first hit, I was like, I'm going to go out of business. I'm going to go bankrupt. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And so it was a lot of anxiety because no one else had the answers. There was no one else that had went through this. So, and one of the things that I find, very, I guess, comforting is talking about it and being able to talk to someone else who's maybe gone through the same thing or is going through the same thing. And so everybody else was going through the same thing, but everybody else was so high on their own anxiety and was so stressed out for their own businesses that it was really hard to talk to anyone else as well, because it was like we were in the same boat and it was kind of like we were spiraling out of control. Because you know what I mean?
I know those conversations could be good or they
And pretty much all of them were really good. It was nice that businesses were reaching out to me and, asking for advice on what they should do. And I was also reaching out to other photographers and asking what I should do as well. So we kind of we already had a community going, and you know what I mean? I've always preached community over competition and all that kind of stuff. But this really came into play when COVID first happened, because the photographers in the industry really came together and really found a way to, team up together and see what we were going to do and how we were going to make this work and all that kind of stuff. So at the beginning it was very stressful, and I kind of sat down and was like, okay, I didn't see this coming. And that was one of the big stressors for me. It was that I always have a plan B, C, D, E, F, G, the whole alphabet plus numbers. You know what I mean? I always have all of these different plans.
Yeah.
And this wasn't in any of those plans.
No.
So when it happened, it was like, holy shit, what else is going to happen that I don't have a plan for? It was kind of like, okay, I have to sit down, I have to come up with a solution, even though no one has a solution right now, because we don't know how long it's going to last. We don't know what it's going to look like in 6 months from now. So it's like, and especially me being in the wedding industry, it's hard when I'm booking 2-3 years in advance, not knowing what's going to happen that far out. So at the beginning, it was like I already had 37 weddings booked for this year and I had to reschedule 28 of them for next year. And when it first happened, I was already almost 95% full for 2021. So it was like, where am I supposed to put all of these couples that, that need me to be there on their wedding day, that hired me because they want me as their photographer? So I was kind of sat down and was like, okay, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do, but let's see if we can find a solution. So I was able to, I reached out to a lot of my brides, but before they reached out to me, some of them had reached out to me prior to and was like, okay, let's make a plan. Let's see what we can do.
Yeah.
And I offered plan B dates to everybody that had a wedding for this year. I was like, even if you're still planning on getting married this year, let's still pick a plan B date for next year. And some of them chose not to. They were like, we're getting married this year, whether or not it's happening.
Yeah.
But some of them were like, okay, I think that's a great idea. Let's pick a plan B date for next year. And everybody was fine with picking a Friday or a Sunday date, which was so important because I didn't really have any Saturdays to play with. Right. So I didn't have many. I didn't really have many at the time.
Yeah.
They picked a plan B date, and a lot of them, like I said, 28 of them have now, pushed their weddings to the plan B date. So next year, I think I have 47 weddings right now.
Just a couple, just a few. Yeah.
But I've been really incredibly lucky when it came to everything that's happened, because all of my couples, every single one of them have been so appreciative of just everything that's been, everything that I've been doing to try and keep up with everything and just to try to, you know, make sure that I'm still going to be there and to reassure them that I'm still going to be there. And especially all of the brides who were supposed to get married this year, like it really sucks because sometimes you'll be talking, or I guess they'll be talking to someone and someone will say something like, oh, you're just getting married. Like that's something you can reschedule. You know what I mean? Yeah. But like, it's devastating. Oh, if you had your heart set, if you had your heart set on a specific date with all of these specific vendors that you chose because you wanted them to be a part of your big day. Yeah. And then some of them can't make it to the and plan B date or
planning for 2 years.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So it's like, it's devastating for these people who have been planning for so long and then get to the final year that, you know, the final couple months that they're going to be just fiancéed for.
Yeah.
And then this happens and they can't get married. So it was really devastating for them too. And I really wanted to empathize with them. You know what I mean? I really wanted to let them know that it's okay to be feeling all of these feelings that you're feeling right now. Like your feelings are valid.
You
know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And even though there was, you know, there like obviously some other people that didn't think that their feelings were valid and made them feel like that, I made sure to go out of my way to make sure that they knew that their feelings were valid.
Exactly.
And I think that that was really important because not only was it making them feel better, it was making me feel better too, because I knew that they found comfort in talking to me about, you know, their plans and how this was going to go this year. And if they, you know, that's why I offered these plan B dates so that they could keep this date for this year until they were able to make a decision. They didn't feel stressed and rushed to make a decision too.
Yeah, which is just like one thing off their plate, you know, considering all the other stresses they're probably going through.
Exactly.
And it's like you were mentioning, like talking to people, and you know, it's pretty you know, I don't think we've ever, well, at least as long as I've been alive, I've never experienced anything where every single human on the planet is affected by one thing, right? It doesn't matter where you live, what walk of life, you know, your life is, anything like that. Like we were all affected by this. And so I think it, I mean, as devastating as it's been, it's also created, I mean, a type of connection.
Yes. And it's created a sense of community.
That we can all relate to. So, I mean, I was definitely, you know, lucky to be able to stay open and, you know, provide our services for the community. And, you know, I also didn't know when we stayed open what people's reactions were going to be, because when you go to Toronto and big places like that, there's hundreds of health food stores, right? Yes. So it's the norm for them to stay open. You know, it's normal. They see them everywhere. They're all open. But for us here, there's only a couple. So it might seem strange to people who, you know, maybe shop at, you know, the grocery stores and don't really shop at our stores for us to stay open. So I was like, you know, this could be negative for us. You know, there might be backlash as to why we're staying open, but no, I couldn't have asked for a more positive response.
Honestly, that's not even something that even crossed my mind when you guys knew that you were staying open.
Yeah.
And I think that what's helped as well is that you've made it so clear on both of your social medias that we are staying open because of these reasons. We are taking all safety precautions and you constantly remind people what, not only that you're taking safety precautions, but what safety precautions you're taking and what you're doing to impact the community and what you're doing to help the community and what you're doing to give back. So I think that's really important. And I love that about your social media is that like you're, I think I'm pretty sure I'm one of the top fans at this point because I see all of the posts all the time as soon as it's posted. Yeah. But it's just what I love. And I'm sure that I'm not the only one that loves seeing that kind of stuff, that just loves seeing that sense of community.
Yeah. Well, and I think that like, I know for myself, like, I mean, I feel like I've always somewhat been a leader, you know, in whatever I've done, like whether it's been a job or whether it's been, you know, in university or whatever it is. But, you know, when it came down to that, like, again, like, I know I've said community a million times, but it really is, you know, we wouldn't be open my stores would not be open if the community did not shop there and support us.
Yes.
Okay. So like, of course I'm going to give back to them.
Yes,
like,
of course.
That's
exactly
what it is. That's exactly what it is. So with me, like, again, like when I was open, it was so many different emotions. It was like, you know, I'm happy that I'm able to remain open. I'm happy I'm able to provide this for my community. But then there was also this other side where I just felt guilty. Like I was like, oh my God, all these stores have to close. I just can't believe it. And like, that's what really, you know, made us sit down and be like, how can we give back? Because like, we cannot sit here and profit while all of these other people are suffering.
God,
and that is why we created our donations for distancing campaign. That is why we bought so many, like thousands of dollars in gift cards from businesses that were temporarily closed down. That's why we, you know, donated so much money during that time because we were like, we have to, you know, our community's suffering and we have to be there for them if we can. So
I think that
that's really important for us to do that.
I think that's amazing. So how has your, I guess, like employees, have you kept all of your employees like since COVID first happened?
Yeah, we kept all of our employees and we've actually had to hire because our stores have been so busy, which is great.
Did you keep the same hours?
We actually shortened our hours during COVID. So basically like when COVID hit, we called all of our employees, my manager, myself, and we said, basically, you know, if you do not feel safe working, you don't have to work.
Oh, that's
your
amazing.
Your job will be here. We're not going to hire. We're not going to get somebody, you know, your job will be here when you come back. So it's up to you. It's your decision.
You know, what's awesome about that though, is that what I've heard from a lot of corporations, lot of like bigger corporations, is that I've seen a lot of news articles about it. Just like people or these corporations being like, my employees don't even want to come back to work anymore because they're getting paid more on CERB. It's so stupid. And it's like, pay your fucking employees more then.
Pay them more, treat them well.
Treat them like a decent fucking human being.
Treat them well, show them that you're, you know, that you respect them. Like myself and my team, we work very closely together. I adore them. I mean, you guys see on social media, I post with them all the time. Anytime I'm in the community, people run up to me and they're like, oh, you have the best team members ever. And I'm like, I know. And, you know, we really are a family and we're friends and it just makes it easy. And so, you know, we gave everybody, I have 15 team members. We gave everybody the opportunity to stay home or to continue work. And two team members who had young children at home decided to stay home and the rest stayed. They were like, no, we want to stay. We love our job. We want to be here.
And that's how you know.
We want to like help the community and like they're freaking rock stars. And we all busted our butt and we worked as hard as we could. So the hours were shorter, but it was very different because people weren't coming in as often. So like we were doing parking pickup and we were doing home delivery. So it was like, you know, our phone rings quite often, but it was during this time, you know, our phone would ring, we'd pick it up, we'd put an order through, you know, maybe it would take a minute or 2 minutes and we'd hang up the phone and there'd be four voicemails. So
okay,
it was like a whole different way to operate.
Yeah.
But we were learning for the first time, you know, people weren't coming in and shopping for themselves. We were trying to, you know, shop for people on the phone. So
and but it's also awesome that you gave them that option.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not only did you give your employees the option to stay or to, you know, just if you don't feel safe, you can leave. You don't have to stay.
Yeah.
You're also giving the community the option to feel safe and to, you know what I mean? To feel safe with their groceries and with their, you know, I know that you sell a lot of like health supplements and all that kind of stuff. So that's like a huge thing in itself.
Well, and people, you know, they come to our store and they're prescribed, you know, some people go get blood tests and they're deficient in a lot of things and they come and they're prescribed these things. They have to have these things. So for us, we knew out of the gate when we did parking pickup and home delivery that we were just going to make everything free. And people were like, oh my gosh, you're driving all over the city. I can't believe you're not charging for that. And I'm like, well, no, I'm not going to charge for basic necessities.
Yes.
That doesn't sit right with me.
Absolutely.
I will drive to this person's house. I will deliver their stuff. They are in fear. They are scared that, you know, I shouldn't be charging people. Mm-hmm. Nobody chose this. So for us, it was just, you know, how can we best serve our community? And because of that, I think that we've gained, you know, a lot more, like we had so many new people coming through the door. Like we had people coming in being like, I'm not going to lie. I normally shop at Walmart. I've never been in here in my life, but I took one step into Walmart and it was a shit show. And I thought to myself, nope, don't feel safe. I'm going somewhere local. And so we just had so many new people coming.
You've created this safe space that you didn't even know.
Yeah. We created this safe space and it was really cool. And we just had so much positivity. Like I was getting messages every day of people being like, thank you for staying open. Like we had people message us being like, your store staying open and me being able to come in your stores and feel a little bit normal has saved me.
Oh
like
my God,
honestly,
yeah.
I know like some of the messages we got just brought me to tears. Like it was unbelievable, but you know, I'm happy when it comes to, you know, owning a business too, is like, no one's telling me what to do.
No,
I'm making all of
my
decisions.
That's
myself.
Like literally like,
that's
we could go on
part,
forever
right?
about that.
So here I am, a world pandemic hits and I have
literally some people's worst nightmares.
Oh, worst nightmare. I have my community that I have to protect and keep safe. I have my store that needs to operate and I have my team that I need to keep safe and I have no advisor. So I'm like, okay, Danielle, you know, put your thinking cap on. How are we going to do this? Yeah. So all of those things that we're doing, like, you know, I saw something once and it's like, let's just think for 1 second that everyone is literally trying their best. And I'm like, that's exactly what it is. Because yeah. I know when I make these decisions, I'm doing it out of the goodness of my heart. You know, I'm hoping that it's going to be taken well. And that's all you can hope for, because nobody's advising me. Nobody's telling me whether what I'm choosing or what I'm doing is a good decision or a wrong decision. Yeah. All comes down to me. So yeah. It's me against me. So I'm really happy that, that we operated the way that we did, that we were able to stay open, and that we had so much community support. It was incredible.
That's amazing. I didn't like, incredible. And that's, it all comes back to, you know, like Moncton just being so, like just being such a big contributor to local businesses.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? It's yeah. just like the local businesses that open up in Moncton usually stay open.
Yeah. And there's just, there's so many, like, I could go on about shopping local all day, but there's just so many cool things about shopping local. It's like, even with my stores, like, we have a local store, and then we have about 50 to 70 local brands on our shelves.
Yeah.
So it's like you're supporting the store, but you're also supporting yes. hundreds mm-hmm. of other local entrepreneurs in your community just by coming in the store and shopping and buying local products. Like yeah. it's just full circle. And then what do we get to do with that money? We get to then donate it back into the community. Yeah. Like there's just no wrong.
Yeah, it's like, I completely agree.
And most small businesses are like me. Most mm-hmm. small businesses are very involved and they donate. And it's like, you know, you see things online. It's like when you think of community and you think of, you know, who donates to the community, who purchases my kids' soccer, you know, rally league tickets and things like that. You always think of small businesses. Mm-hmm. So, and I say to people too, sometimes, you know, I think sometimes people get overwhelmed being like, oh, you know, I can't buy everything from there. And I have a huge family and, you know, affordability and all those things. But I always say to people, like, you don't have to buy everything locally.
No, of course
not. Just add local into your routine.
Exactly.
So instead of going to Starbucks exactly. every single day, in your week, you know, go to a local coffee shop once or twice, just add those things in, you know?
And it makes such a big difference.
Huge difference.
Such a big difference.
Huge
it's like,
difference.
And I don't think people realize how much they're like, oh, well, like a $2 coffee at a local coffee shop it is going to make a difference.
It makes such a difference. And I'm like, where do you go? Like I go to a local coffee shop here in town and I literally go in and they're like, oh, do you want your double shot soy cappuccino? And I'm like, oh, yes, yeah. I will never betray you. You remember my coffee drink? Where yes. do you go? Or like with our stores, we know a lot of customers off by name. And I'm like, where do you go where people know you by name? Feels pretty good to walk into
really
a store
does.
And somebody be like, oh, hey, Shirley, what's up?
Yes,
like,
it really does.
Thanks for coming in again, right?
Yes, absolutely. So, oh, I feel that on such a personal level.
Yeah.
And I feel like also being a business owner is – people have this like stereotypical what a business owner looks like 100%. In their head. So let's talk about that a
yes.
little bit, because I get this a
this
lot.
This could take up the full
oh,
hour,
I know.
But we'll dive in.
I like, okay. So the number one thing that like I get a lot is, oh, you like you can make your own schedule. So like you must have such an easy life.
Yeah.
Like you must like, you're like going on. So first of all, the staycations.
Yeah.
I'm going on all of these staycations, but they're not entirely staycations because I'm also working. You
yes.
know what I mean? I'm,
yeah.
I am working with the Airbnb
yeah.
hosts. I am working within the community and
yeah.
trying to promote these local businesses within these staycations as well.
Yeah.
So it's not completely, if I was on vacation, I would not be answering my phone type
absolutely.
Of thing. You know what
absolutely.
I mean? So that, and like, just, you know, like making your own schedule and that kind of stuff. But when you're making your own, that's probably one of the hardest things to do is making your own schedule, because when you're passionate
yeah.
about what you do, just
yeah.
like you are,
yeah.
when you're passionate about what you do, your career turns into your hobbies and it turns into your personal time.
Yes.
So there is literally no disassociation with any of these three
no.
components
no.
that make up your entire life, that make up your social life, that
yeah.
make up your mental health, and
yeah.
that make up your actual business life.
Yeah. Yeah. So God love our boyfriends.
Yeah.
But,
oh my God. Yeah.
No. And I think like, I mean, and every business and every business owner has different struggles, because like the photography business and the health food store business is just completely different worlds. Like we can relate on a lot of things. And
but one thing that we can really relate on is that we're both passionate about
yes.
it. And that's the one thing that we can
yes.
connect with all of these different, you know, different businesses, is that if you're passionate about something, you're going all in.
You've got to be passionate to own a business.
Exactly.
If you're not passionate and you own a business, it is time to get out. Exactly. Because if you don't have passion for that business, you know, it's just the amount of time it takes to run a business. And I know even for me, like, my stores open, what, 350 days a year. So even when I am on vacation, even when I am, you know, maybe like visiting my boyfriend on the weekends or whatever it is, like, my store is still open and operating. Mm-hmm. So if my store is still open and operating, I'm still getting phone calls, I'm still getting emails, I'm still getting texts, I'm still on exactly. social media, all of those things. Exactly. So I think sometimes people are like, oh, you know, you get to take all this time off. And it's like, well, is it really time off though? It's not really time off. Like, there's not really downtime ever. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Exactly. There's literally no downtime ever. If I'm not shooting a wedding,
yeah.
if I'm not shooting a session, if I'm not sitting here editing, mm-hmm. if I'm not on social media, if I'm not at a meeting, like, literally the list goes on yeah. and on. And I'm 100% doing one of those things at any point in time of the day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Especially like posting on social media. Some people, like, I don't feel like it's work to me, but it is still considered, quote unquote work, because you're, you know, promoting yeah. yourself and you're advertising yeah. for yourself and you're yeah. doing all these things to push your brand and to push who you are as a person and that kind of stuff. So all of those things fall into the quote unquote work category. So there's literally no downtime.
No, there's no downtime. And when perhaps you are not working, maybe like when you're sleeping, you're still thinking about it. You're like, oh my gosh, I have to do this, right? It just never stops. So,
and you usually get that list in your head at 3 a.m. when you're about to fall asleep.
So my poor managers who get emails at 3 a.m. I'm like, please don't answer me. So it's, I mean, owning a business, you kind of just have to be in it to know what it is. It's just really, it's just a really different world, I think. And I think that with social media, like I was saying to somebody the other day, I could go on my social media every day and be like, this is how hard owning a business is. These are all the challenges I have to mm-hmm. deal with. These are all the decisions I have to make with nobody, no guidance, no advisor. You know, these are all of the financial things. These are this. But that can also come off as like negative. So it's like you want to be like real, but it's also like, you know, I'm a pretty positive person. I don't want to weigh people down. But I think what happens with social media sometimes is people don't actually see the full picture.
Yes.
Right? They see my profile and my store's profile and they're like, oh my gosh, it's so fun and it's this, da, da, da. But I'm like, you know, they don't see all the stuff that, you know,
it's not always fun.
Yeah, it's not always fun.
And that's the thing. Like, I feel like I try to put a little bit of both. So I've talked a lot about my, you know, suffering with depression and seasonal depression and anxiety and that kind of stuff. I've talked a lot about that on my social media because I want to give them the bigger picture.
Yeah.
I want them to know that, I want my followers to know that I still struggle with these things too. Like, if you're seeing me dancing in a dancing video, it doesn't mean that I didn't cry that day, mm-hmm. or it doesn't mean that I didn't struggle with, you know, a work obstacle that day.
Exactly.
It doesn't mean that. It just means that this is what I'm deciding to post today.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
So what would you want the community, or I guess like people that don't own a business, what would you want them to know?
I would want people who don't own a business to know, or maybe a piece of advice that we give mm-hmm. is, be compassionate towards small business owners. So when you are going into a store or having a service or dealing with a small business owner or small operation, and you notice something and you want to be negative about it, just realize that this person is probably not making a ton of money, is probably working 80 hours a week, and is really only operating this because it's their passion and they do so much for their community. So I think that just, you know, be really positive towards anyone in small business because you really truly don't know what people are going through. And I'm not trying to take away from people who have other types of jobs. I know that other types of jobs are really hard.
Definitely.
And I think that being kind is important no matter what. But I think
We're just trying to like break that stereotypical being an owner or being like the owner of a business, or you know what I mean? Just like taking that stereotypical, oh, you can do what you want. You can take vacation when you want. You can do all of these things.
Yeah.
When really it's so much more of a complicated scenario than that.
Yeah. And I know, like, you know, there's places I've gone into before, even like shopping. I'm like, oh, you know, they don't have whatever it is that I want. They don't have the pizza. I love pizza. They don't have the pizza that I want, you know, but instead of being like, oh, you know, I went there and they don't have the pizza that I want, you know, I think to myself, do you know what? Maybe they had a crazy week. They didn't get around to ordering it. It is what it is, right? Or maybe, you know, if I saw somebody in the community and they weren't as friendly as I thought they were going to be, well, maybe they're having a really stressful week. So I think it's just like all about being compassionate and just realizing, you know, you don't know everybody's story.
Yes. So absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's like with not only small businesses, I think that's with any job.
Absolutely.
Like I've seen so many horror stories with, you know, the workers that are working in grocery stores right now, like in big box Sobeys or big box superstore, Loblaws, like any of those places, and just getting fucking shit on by the people that come in because they're either wiping down the, I get, what is that? The, like the, thing that you put your groceries on, like the counter, they're wiping it down too slow, or you know what I mean? They're taking too much time to do something, or maybe they got an item wrong, and or maybe they got a price wrong. You know what I mean? And it's like, I get it. Like, I understand that the community as a whole is already stressed out, especially when this first happened and everybody was kind of freaking out. Everybody was stressed out.
Yeah.
But if you're, you know, if you're already working in the public and you have to stay working, excuse me, in the public, and you're not only working in the public and dealing with a fucking global pandemic, you're also dealing with people that are shitting on you for just like the stupidest things.
I know. And that comes, like, that comes back to that thing that I was saying that I saw online where it's just like, just assume everyone is trying their best.
Yeah.
Yeah. So next time you're about to get mad or you're about to get agitated or you're about to, you know, just be like, do you know what? This person's probably trying their best.
Honestly, for the most part, like I would say like 99.999% of people are trying their best at all times. So it's like just being compassionate and being empathetic with people and just like understanding that their whole life is not working in this grocery store.
Yeah.
And their whole life is not to serve you.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yeah. They might be going through problems at home and they might be dealing with other things at home that you have no idea about.
Exactly.
So like one example that I could give is that last year I went through a deep depression in the middle of my wedding season.
Mm.
So when I got back from Iceland, I literally like I just like downward spiraled from there. And as every wedding that I went to, I was the same bubbly, enthusiastic person that I was like before this happened.
Yeah.
But it's like, and you would know this, like being a business owner, it's like you always have to have that.
Always.
You have to always keep this image.
Which is really hard.
It is really hard to do sometimes, especially when you're going through your own stuff. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's really hard.
Because you don't want to leave a bad taste in other people's mouths. No. And if that's like the first time that they're meeting you and you're being, you know, like you're crying or you're, you know what I mean? And not that like all of these things are weak and doesn't not make you weak in any form of the word, but like, it's just hard. It can be hard sometimes.
It's really hard. And I think that again comes down to like, just knowing that like, you know, business owners are human beings too. And I know even just with my team, like it's always, you know, and I love them to death, but it's always like, you know, every time I go to my store, I'm like, I have to be a leader and I have to be, you know, a certain way because I don't want to put anything on them. Like I want them to enjoy themselves and be stress-free. And so even, you know, sometimes when I'm really stressing out, I can't have those conversations, you know, with them and I have to, you know, when a customer's come in. So I know exactly how you feel. And it's sometimes you don't want to act that way. Like sometimes you just want to be like, do you know what? I'm having a shitty day too.
You know what? Fuck you. Yeah. Fuck you and fuck you
I'm
too.
I'm having a really shitty day too. I'm having a shitty week. I'm stressing my mind too. But you just, you know, as a business owner, you just don't have that. You feel obligated to always act a certain way, I think. And it's funny, like even prior to owning Sequoia, like even just going downtown and things, I'm like, well, better not have like too many drinks because I'll go out downtown and, you know, see customers and things like that. And I just feel like I have to, you know, be professional. And I think that even ties into being a young female in business. Like, oh my gosh, when I bought my business when I was 25. So yeah, a lot of stereotype around that.
Oh girl, we could go on forever about that. Because when I started photography, I was like 14.
Yeah.
So I wasn't like obviously running a full-time business at 14, but that's when I started. And then by the time I was, you know, like 19, I was running like pretty much full time at that point. I was still working a job on the side, but I could have very much sustained myself at that point in time.
Yeah.
And I remember this one conversation that I had with this one client. I was shooting her for boudoir and she came in, and at the end of the session, we had such a great session. We had such great conversations. Then at the end of the session, she's like, "Shirley, how old are you?" And I was like, "I don't want to tell you." And she was like, no, like, tell me how old you are. And I was like, "I'm 19. And she was like, "Shirley, if you would have told me that before the session, I would have never booked with you. I'm so glad I did, but I would have never booked with you if you would have told me that." And that just goes to show how stereotypical being in business and being a woman and being in business at such a young age can affect you. Oh, and I lied about my age for so long because I was like, if people can't take me seriously because I'm so young, why am I doing this?
No, exactly. Yeah. No, when you get that, I mean, now, well, no, it's not necessarily different now, but I definitely was, I don't know, hard hit, I guess, when I first started. I've had, you know, I had a lot of rude comments and things like that. And just, it's interesting. It's definitely interesting the way that society thinks.
People think you have no idea what you're doing.
People have,
which I mean, 95% of the time, I don't know what I'm doing, but.
Yeah. But you're like, I'm faking it till I make it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I think that, and that pressure, I think, stems out into my social life. Like, I know when I go to Halifax and Fredericton, I'm like, woo, just going to be myself. But when I am in Moncton, I do feel like I have to, you know, act a certain way and act appropriate and things like that. And it's probably not that people would care, but when you have a little bit of a chip on your shoulder when, you know, you've had comments towards you and, you know, I literally remember when I first bought my business, I was going to these Chamber of Commerce events. And again, like, I worked for the Halifax and the Charlottetown Chamber of Commerce, so I'm not, you know, new to these things. But, you know, when you walk in a room and the whole room is men.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And you're 30 years younger.
Yeah.
Like, most people are going to be like, huh, what? You own a business? Wait, what?
Yeah.
Okay, well, who's your husband? Yeah. Right? Like, those types of
comments. Oh my God. We can literally go on forever.
5.5 years in, I'm like, 31 years old. Test me, you know, try and come at me now. But, you know, I think that those, you know, that takes a little time to heal, I think.
Yeah. And like, when I was searching for my car, like, I bought this one from a dealership that my dad used to work at, but I was shopping around for a car. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was like, I don't know, like 23, 22 at the time. And I went to a dealership and I kind of like went in and sat down and I was like, oh, like, this is what I'm looking for. This is exactly what I want. This is the price range that I'm looking for. And they're like, oh, like, do you have a cosigner? I'm like, what? And they're like, oh, but you're probably going to need a cosigner. Do you have a cosigner? And I was like, first of all, I'm not going to need a cosigner. I'm just going to let you know that right now. I'm not going to need one. But the fact that you are just assume that I'm going to need a cosigner,
no, I'm because go to a different
and I didn't buy from them because I felt like I was treated like a person that wasn't part of society. Like, I was
awful?
Just,
you
know, yes, it
Do
is.
How many times I've been asked my age over the past 5.5 years. Why does it matter?
Don't ask me my age. I will fucking lie to you.
A successful business.
Exactly.
You're buying products for me. The world's going round.
And at what age?
Yeah, and
at what age does it stop?
Does it stop? And at what age do people accept you? And they're like, okay, that's a good enough age.
Yeah,
in my
exactly.
Mind.
It's like, is it
47 is a great age, and I will now accept you as a business owner.
But that's
owner.
The
like,
thing.
What?
Like, is it as soon as you hit 45, people are like, oh,
yeah,
okay, that makes
then
more
you're
sense.
Then you're allowed to own this business.
Yeah, you're allowed to own. You're allowed to be successful. Like, let's give you the success that you no.
It's,
like, that's not
so
how
weird.
It's supposed to work. And it's just, it's very weird and it's very odd that, like, we are, you know, under this stereotypical world where women in business at such a young age is like not taboo, but it's like, oh, like, they're not going to go very far.
That's definitely still a thought. I think that
it's getting better.
It's definitely getting better.
Yeah.
It's definitely getting better. And I think even it's interesting too, because like my parents are not ageist at all, but it's interesting for like them, you know, my mom owns a company and, you know, my dad was a partner in a firm. So he basically ran his own business for years, but it's interesting. It was interesting to watch them watch me grow my business over 5.5 years because, you know, I think to them, they were like, okay, you know, she's our daughter and she's young and all these things. But, you know, every day they're like, holy shit. Yeah. You know, you've done so much. And I think it's actually even opened their eyes mm-hmm. to how much young people can do, because they probably just don't work with a lot of young people, right?
Yeah,
so they
definitely.
Work with a lot of people their own age.
Exactly.
And so I think they're, you know, they're like, oh my gosh. And I remember even my mom being like, you know, like, is there anyone, you know, that's around your age that can do all of our social media for us and things like that. So it's really interesting too, when you experience that or see that for yourself, how your views change.
Oh, definitely.
It's just the view that you have growing up, like mm-hmm. older people know best, that, you know, whatever.
The older, the wiser.
The older, the wiser, all those things. So it's really interesting to just see that, you know, when you work with people who are older, when you talk to people who are older, or even like when you give advice. It's funny in my store, because we have people who work there from, you know, all different age groups. And sometimes I'll see people come in and they'll dart to the oldest person in the store. And it's, I actually have a funny story about that. So there was somebody who was working for me. I love her. Anyways, she's quite a bit older than me. And, you know, she's middle-aged, she's working there. And this, one of my employees comes up the stairs one day and she goes, oh, there's somebody here and they want to speak to the owner. I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, no problem. I'll come down. So I come down and there's a woman standing there, and she goes, and I walk over and I'm like, hey, are you looking to speak to the owner? And my employee, who's older, comes from around the back. And I was like, hey, are you here to speak to the owner? And she's like, yeah. Oh, there she is. And immediately goes,
oh my
God, to the oldest person in the store. And I'm like, we just laughed it off, but I'm like, it just goes to show, right? It just,
yeah.
People just assume the oldest person in the store is the owner. So it's just, it's funny. It's interesting.
It is really funny. And
yeah.
I also feel like having such a great support system, like around you, like you said, like your parents have always been so supportive
yeah.
of what you do and owning yeah. a business. And you've had that upbringing of,
yeah.
you know, having these parents that do own these businesses
yeah.
and having like a little bit of an eye for that already. And
yeah.
like my parents, for example, like when I was 14, my dad took me to Walmart, and cause like at this point I had like a very small like digital camera that I got for Christmas
yeah.
from my parents. And I was like taking photos of like leaves with droplets on it. Cause that's what, if you're not a photographer, if you don't have
photos,
exactly. You don't have
a leaf with a droplet.
Exactly. You're not a photographer if you haven't done that. So that's what I was doing at the time. Or like if you have like black and white photos, but like certain things are in color, like you, yeah. Like, yeah. Anyways. So obviously I was like doing all of these things, and like, I thought my work was so beautiful. And like my parents were so proud of the fact that I wanted to become a photographer and the fact that I wanted to do all of these amazing things. And I remember my dad taking me to Walmart at 14 years old because he wanted me to build a portfolio. He wanted to, he brought me to the photo lab and made me print out all of these big prints of my photos so that anytime that
so
I had a meeting
sweet.
With an actual client, I could bring them work that they could see in person.
Wow.
And it was just, that was like, I always like, kudos to my parents for being that support system, because if I didn't have that growing up, I probably wouldn't be a photographer today, because photographers in, I guess like the business world are considered starving artists and people just like seem to think that if you're a photographer or if you're an artist of any form or
yeah.
if you're in the art industry at
yeah.
all,
yeah.
you're starving
yeah.
and you don't make any fucking money
yeah.
and you take what you get and
yeah.
that's basically it. But that's not how it works.
No, it's not how it works.
And
but
it's,
again, it's just a stereotype.
That's
right.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
So we're here today to break all of those stereotypes.
We're breaking down the stereotypes.
Exactly.
One by one.
Exactly.
But no, and that's why like my stores, like that's why myself and my stores just invest so much in children, because like you just said, like you have parents, not everybody has parents that are that supportive, but it's important to be part of groups and have coaches and have, you know, people in your life that are supportive.
Exactly.
And so, you know, it makes a huge difference if you
it
have
really
people
does.
Being like, yeah, you know, that's a big, big ambition. That's a big dream, but go for it. And we'll be here for you. Right.
Exactly.
It
Absolutely.
Makes a huge difference. Yeah.
Well, I think that we're just going to wrap it up really quick here, but like we've really went over so many things today.
Yeah.
So Danielle, tell everybody where they can find you on social media.
Yes. You can follow my two stores at, on Instagram at Sequoia Wellness DD, or you can find us on Facebook, Sequoia Downtown or Sequoia Dieppe. Or you can find me on Instagram. My name is Danielle Govin. And yeah, thanks for listening.
Thank you so much for coming today. It was so awesome to have you on the podcast. I think
so
everybody
fun.
Is going to fucking love this episode. So thank you so,
so
much
great.
Again. Happy Tuesday, everybody. I hope that you have an amazing day. And thank you so much for listening.